tonight will be in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, let me get started here. I don't know if anybody is interested, but I know it's a little bit late, like 13 days late, but you can still catch up on it. Here is a personal Bible reading chart that will help you, kind of give you a place to be each day. Kind of, it's almost like some accountability. Keep you going in your proper order where you're supposed to be. So they're here if you want them. After church, they'll be right there. Help yourself to them. It's easy to catch up on 13 days, three chapters a day, and you're caught up for the whole year. Three chapters a day, you can read the whole Bible through in the whole year. So, 13 times 3, you can do that in one sitcom segment. Just turn the TV off and read for 30 minutes, and you'll be caught up. You really will be. Ephesians, I've told y'all. I was passing out the church calendars earlier in another form of, not a form, some papers. Did everybody get a church calendar for the year? The annual church calendar. Mr. Betty did not. All right. I bypassed Sister Betty. You weren't sitting over there in your spot. Miss Jennifer, you weren't sitting there either, were you? I had canvassed that corner. I'll get it right now. Let me get Ephesians chapter number 6, I think. Let me remember. Ephesians 4. Tripped up my mind. Take it around here. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. All right. Thanks, everybody. All right. Here we go. We can get running down the road now. Ephesians chapter number 4. President Kennedy made a quote in his inauguration. Does anybody know what that famous quote is? Sister Barbara? He said, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." And tonight, I want to turn that around and put it to our church. Amen. It was good enough for our country, and words of wisdom. I think it is words of wisdom for our church. Because we live in a day and age of give and take. But unfortunately, everybody wants to take. And we need to give back and forth from one to another. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12. Then we're going to just talk a little bit about what God would have us be as a church and what He'd have us be as individuals. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And here's the reason He did it. "For," there's the reason, "the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And this is what I want you to think about. Starting now, all the way through 2019, all the way till the Lord comes back, every member of Lock Haven Baptist Church is a minister. We got to the point in age, and it's almost like we think we're a bunch of unions. Well, ain't my job. That's a deacon job. Ain't my job. That's a song leader job. Ain't my job. That's a sound people's job. No, sir, that is not how it works. No, ma'am, that's not how it works. He has given us pastors and teachers and apostles, and it's for a reason, for the perfecting of the saints. And what's a church? A church is made up of born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized individuals that have covenanted together underneath a group of beliefs and bylaws and statements of faith and biblical authority that say we are going to work and labor together to propagate the gospel and to build a local New Testament church for the glory of God right here in this here community. So that is what. So if it's for the perfecting of the saints, if you're saved and you are a member and you are part of this body, you have some responsibilities. All of us do. Not just the pastor, not just Sunday school teachers, not just deacons, not song leaders, but we have responsibility as members. As members of this body, we have a responsibility to be about the Lord's work. Unfortunately, I think many cases, not only here, but in churches worldwide, we treat our membership like a gym membership that we buy in the first of the year. We're hot and heavy on the treadmill the first 2 weeks of the year. We busting weights and lifting, sweating. Or we know it, you just paying the dues. And that's what some of us do. Brother Jim, we just pay the dues. Well, I've showed up. Well, I sang in the choir. Well, I gave an offering. I pay my dues. And you're not exercising yourself. Perfecting of the saints. You have to. That's a continual process. It's something we've got to do. So every member of a ministry, because if we're perfected for the ministry, therefore we are ministers ministering in the ministry. Because sometimes you're like, well, the pastor, he's the minister. And that's what they call it whenever I'm officiating a wedding or a funeral. He's called the minister, you know, called the reverend. But we're members of the Black Haven Baptist Church, and so we have some work to do all the time, all of us. And so here's what I want you to think about. You are, as an individual, you are God's gift to Lock Haven Baptist Church. If you're a member here, you are God's gift, and so it's time we unwrap you and get to enjoying the gift. How many of you still got gifts underneath your Christmas tree at home? It's time to unwrap them. Get them, listen, re-gift them if you're not going to. But hey, we got to unwrap. You are a gift to this church. God placed you here, and he's put you in here, and allowed you to have freedom to join and be a part. Now, as many folks in here tonight, just visitors, that this is not really toward them. We're thankful for you. We hope you keep coming, and the Lord moves in your heart. We ask you to move you into membership. Praise God. That'd be a blessing and a help to us. But if you just keep coming and you're visiting, that's fine. Don't allow this here to escape you, because this is some important stuff just as individuals as well. First thing we got to know as a Christian that serves in the body of Christ is this. If you would, look over in John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, before anybody can genuinely enter into the ministry work of the church, dear friend, you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says in John chapter 15 and verse number 4. John 15, verse 4. The Word of God says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine." This is Jesus speaking. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same, listen to what it says, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When you're considering the ministry, dear friend, working and laboring in the local church, Jesus Christ, God gave himself for the church. The first step that has to happen, dear friend, you've got to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to, the foundation of church ministry is built on Jesus. Jesus said, I'll build my church on this rock. I'll build my church. And so this is the Lord's church. And so to have a part in the ministry of the Lord, you've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, more than beyond just salvation. Thank the Lord that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven, dear friend. But we're going to give an account for how we conducted ourselves and handled ourselves in the Lord's work and in the ministry, what we've done in this body. You say, well, what kind of ministries are they? Well, let's think about this. Here's the church. How about hospitality? David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. My wife prints off 50 bulletins every week. There is no reason in the world there ought to be 10 or 7 or 8 bulletins still laid on a bench somewhere when church is over. That means we as God's people have not been found faithful to reach visitors, to reach members, take them to them. If we're in the usher, if we're there, it is our responsibility to get those out. And every week I throw away 10 to 12 bulletins out of 50. If we passed out 50 right now, we should be done with it. We got more on Sunday mornings. That's a ministry. That's standing at the door, welcoming people. When visitors come in back there, when they come in here, when we're getting out of our car at Brother Duane on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we see somebody over there that they've never been to this church, approaching them, hi, how you doing? My name is... That's the ministry of hospitality. And the Bible says we should be given to hospitality. So that's, see, we think ministry, if we don't have a title, Brother Judd, we don't have an office somewhere, if we don't have a door hanger, it's not ministry. No, dear friend. That ain't how it works. Amen. It's very important that we as God's people engage, especially when somebody has gone out of their way to come to us. We got to engage them. We got to approach them. We got to be friendly. We got to be that doorkeeper. We got to let them get in here and feel welcome, feel at home. And sometimes it looks like they're sitting around here holding their eyes till their eyes about to bust open because they got to use the bathroom because nobody's told them that the bathroom's over here, the bathroom's over there. You know as well as I do, most of y'all drink 6 cups of coffee on the way to church. You drink 6 cups of coffee, you've got to go to the bathroom. Well, that's fine then. You know where the urinal is. That visitor don't. They're sitting over there sweating. Because we haven't approached them. And made them feel at home. You've got to reach out to them. And that's part of it. The music ministry, dear friend, it's a highly important part of our church. If you hadn't noticed yet, our ministry of music is a little bit different than what all the other churches are doing. They're used to some emotional, upbeat, get you in the mood type songs, right? They're shallow. So we're different. So when people approach here and they come into the house of God, and because our music is different, I'm saying it's different in a good way. But that's not what they're used to. And when we get up here and we've got 6, 7 choir members that ain't in place, because choir just simply ain't important this Sunday for them, or we got soloists who decided they didn't want to practice, and they get up here and sing and they stop, miss, go again, dear friend, you make it. That is not ministry. Listen, we got to get past it. Well, I'm just going to open up and fling. No, dear friend, we're doing this for the glory of God. And when we're up here, we're representing Christ, and we're getting people's hearts ready for the Word of God. God knows they need to be ready when I get up here because I stumble all over myself. They need your help, dear friend. They need you to be in your place. They need you to make, they need you to say, hey, I am a member of choir beyond being a member of Lock Haven Baptist Church. I have also joined that ministry. Therefore, I'm going to be at practice so I know the songs and I'm not singing a different word when everybody else is singing something else. And I'm not hitting the high note over here when I haven't been at practice to know the high note below don't belong there. And I'm not singing bass and tenor over here because I don't know the song. Because I know you think I'm whipping you, but I'm telling you, this is important, church. Amen. You're not doing this for me. You're doing it for the glory of God. Amen. And if we want Lock Haven to grow, dear friend, we're going to have to be found faithful. And that means when we're having choir, we're not sitting over here, six of us over here talking while the rest of us are singing. If you're not going to put effort to it, dear friend, stay down. Because everybody else is up there staying past their time so they can learn the music, so they can glorify God while you think it's a joke. So ministry music is important. But if you, and listen, if you can sing and you're not singing, shame on you. I'm not going to sing because you didn't tell me what to do. Shame on you. It's immature. If you're a member of Lock Haven Baptist Church and you can sing and you're old enough to be in that adult choir, you need to be up there in that adult choir. It's just that simple. If you're part of the youth ministry around here, you need to be in the beautiful girlhood, you need to be in the swag, and you need to be at practice when there's practice so you can learn the song and sing to glorify God. If you've got children, dear friend, and they're part of the children's choir, they need to be found faithful here. We can't get on to them. They're 6, 7 years old. Why do you drive your kids up to church, Johnny? You can't get on to them. That's a parent's problem. That's a parent's job to get them here. Okay, let's move on. Usher, security. Listen, when you're doing security, it's not just to go out there and look at the blue cars and the sky and the birds chirping. You're doing security. Make sure that everything's going right. Not just walk around having a good time talking and joking. I mean, you're just not just out there to have a presence. You're there to be part of the security team. And so you be there, you know, and ushering, dear friend. When you come forward, this is worship. When you come down this aisle to take up money, it's not, God don't need our money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What you're doing is you're coming down for worship. I'm offering. You're not down here to joke around and play. You're not down here just to be seen. You're not down here because you're somebody special. You're down here to be part of the initial worship of God. So ushering is very, very important. Here goes one that's going to get us, dear friend. Nursery. Ladies, you're killing me. You have nursery and you don't show up, you don't call, you don't tell nobody. Sunday school teachers, you're killing me. You don't let me know you're not going to be here. Well, ain't none of your business. The Bible says, as the pastor, I'm to take oversight of the church. So it's my responsibility to know if you're here or not. You need to let me know so we can replace you. I mean, listen, emergencies come up. We live in the day of cell phones and texting and all kinds of stuff. I mean, you can Snapchat, you know, your friend over in China. So you can surely call the church and let somebody know, hey, I'm not going to be there. Hey, I'm going out of town in a week. I'm going to be gone for 2 days and I'm not going to be here. Ain't none of your business. Well, that's if that's how you feel, that's fine. But I'm telling you, according to the Bible, it is my business. How can I take oversight? How can I make sure the nurses, you know, if a visiting family comes in here with 4 children, they come in here 15, 20 minutes early, and ain't no nursery worker there. And somebody comes and says, Pastor, ain't no nursery worker. Where's the nursery worker? Listen, ladies, it's important. It's needful. I know you think it's not needful. I know you think it's not my ability, it's not my cup of coffee, It's not my cup of cake, it's our slice of cake. Whatever you're saying is, dear friend, but if you're a member and you're a lady, it's your responsibility to help in the nursery. It is. Men, listen, we have a work day and we're mowing grass and we're weed eating. It's your responsibility to be a part of that. God, help. Sunday school, our Bible clubs, these are important outreaches, our bus ministry. I don't even want the buses running anyway. Well, maybe you'll get past that. Maybe you'll mature a little bit and realize that Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Listen, I'm telling you, bus ministry's not my cup of tea. I ain't never been in a church that had bus ministry that I came here. Never. My pastor didn't believe in it, didn't think it was needful. He said, they ain't bringing in no money. Why are we going to do it? That's his words. Bless his heart. He was a good man. He loved God. He loved people. Pastored with everything he had, but he didn't think bus ministry was that important. The Lord gave us this ministry, and so it's important because the Lord put it here. So, you know, if you can help, Pastor, I just can't get off in time enough. Can you come up and wash a bus on your day off? Can you come up and change some oil on the bus? Can you come up and clean the bus out? These are ministries. See, it's not difficult to be in the ministry. Difficult to be of the ministry, because then it has to be of you. I'm doing this because it's of me. I'm not doing this to please pastor. I'm not doing this to please deacons. I'm not doing this to please anybody. I'm doing this because this is what God has given me, and I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. So first thing, there has to be that relationship with Christ. If you want to listen, you want to be in any of these ministries, if you want to be wore out, listen to me. If you want to be wore out, agree to do the nursery and not read your Bible. You want to be wore out, agree to clean one of these bathrooms and don't pray. Because the first time you go in there and somebody has left one clogged up and it's going to sit for 2 days, you know why? You got to have that minute. You got to have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ first. Because if you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ first, He'll remind you that He washed Judas's feet, and that stinking bathroom ain't nothing compared to Judas's feet, who was going to betray Him just a tad bit. Just a little bit. If you have that ministry, if you have that relationship with Jesus, He'll remind you of all He did for you. And what you're doing for Him does not even compare. Doesn't even compare to what He's done for us. Well, what are we doing for? We're doing it. Why are we serving? Why is Christians supposed to serve? Because, listen, the church operates that way. Well, why is membership important? Because you find membership in the Bible. Look in Acts chapter 13. Some people don't even think that church membership is important, but it's a biblical thing. Acts chapter 13. Look at verse number 1 and 2. Now there was in the church, there's a local church there, in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Menon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, as they ministered. They were in the church, but they ministered to who? To the Lord. To the Lord. And fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So they're in the church. They're part of the church. They're ministering, and as they ministered, they didn't minister to the body. They ministered to the Lord, though it affected the body. So we do it because this is what we're supposed to do. Third thing, dear friend, not only do we do it because we have a relationship with Christ, and not only because Jesus died and gave Himself for the church, but we need to do it for the sake of consistency. You know, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. I mean, this hit and miss, dear friend, it ain't going to get you nowhere but wore out. Get involved, you get excited, make this, you know, you act like you're at the gym on New Year's Day, you know, done signed up and done bought you one at 24, you still owe Planet Fitness from 2 years ago, and now anytime exercise come on, you got your membership over there, and you go a week, 2 weeks, and then you don't go no more. You're not, you just pay it. And that's what happens in the local church, dear friend. We volunteer to do something, and then because we don't have that relationship and because we're doing it for people or for people to see us, we're wore out, we're tired, and there is no consistency. And then we do go 6 months, and then something happens, we sign up again, and then we just get tired and quit, don't we, Brother Jim? Just wore out. I mean, we go, we stop, we go, we stop, we go, we stop. Consistency is important. He which is faithful is least is faithful in much. And here's something we've got to think about, dear friend, as we look into this. We've got to consider this. Dear friend, if you are coming here and you're new, we got some folks who are going to join the church tonight right after this. This don't apply to them. But if you come in here, I've had, in the last 3 years, I've had 5 or 6 people come and want to join the church. And because I wouldn't remove a Sunday school teacher and give it to them, they didn't come. Are you foolish? Dear friend, if I have a Sunday school teacher installed, you're just going to have to come sweep the floor. I'm not fixing to remove somebody because you think you're better. Now, down the road, it might open up. But when you transfer in, dear friend, somebody's plugged in there, you can't be so, well, I was a deacon at my last church, and so if I'm not a deacon now, I'm not going to do nothing. Really? That is immature. That is silly. And the last three years, it may be up to six now. Had another one last year. They was on fire, wanted to join the church. They was a member of another church of like faith up in Arizona somewhere. Not Arizona, where was it? Utah, over there, something like that, out west. And they came, they moved over here. Needed to be, you know, better weather out here. Swap dryness for humidity. Go figure that. But anyway, they wanted to be here. But in every church, Brother Bernie, every independent Baptist church, every Baptist church they ever gone to, they've been rebaptized. And I told them I wasn't going to rebaptize them. I tell you, why? You've been baptized 7 times. It's just something I like to do. What you like to do? Well, go get a shower. Get a bath. Baptism ain't about because I'm changing new membership, I'm going to get rebaptized. That doesn't work that way. He got mad and wouldn't join, dear friend. And so we got to consider things of that nature. We got to seek counsel. Whenever, listen, we got to ask God to remove the scales of our eyes. Do you understand something? If the Lord opens up something to you, let me get something here. For example, this morning, Sister Lois, I don't want to embarrass you at all. This morning, I saw Sister Lois come down the thing with a broom, and I saw her sweeping out spider webs over there. God showed her those spider webs. Praise God for it, Sister Lois. I'm robbing you from a blessing. I know it. I'm stealing your blessing right now. She didn't tell nobody. She went over and did it, put the broom back away. I'm going to tell you something that's childish. For you to see spider webs in the corner and come and say, Pastor, there's spider webs over in that corner. What you want me to do? God opens your eyes to that need. Now, I'm not too big to go clean out spider webs. I promise you that. I'll do anything and everything around here. Anything and everything. Somebody asked me the other day, said, Pastor, why are you so involved in doing things? I've never seen a pastor mow grass and sweep and mop and wash and drive buses. I've never seen that. And I said this one thing. I said, if I don't do it, who's going to do it? If I stop right now doing everything that I do, who's going to pick up the slack? That's why I do it, because I'm doing it for the Lord, not for somebody to pick up the slack. So you got to ask yourself, if I stop right now doing everything that I'm doing in Lock Haven Baptist Church, who would pick it up, or would there be anything to pick up? I like this here. I got me an amen up here on the front. Brother Jim, you should have come sit with him. You gave me a little witness there. I'm telling you, listen, first 2019, dear friend, I see God doing some great mighty things, but dear friend, he's put you here first. Amen. For such a time as this. And that means we got to get busy doing things now instead of waiting on somebody down the road. So, Pastor, I'm praying God brings 100 more members so they can get busy. Well, what you going to do then? Be less busy then? We got to be busy, dear friend. And then, when you do all this, you know, you don't have to seek counsel for pastor to change toilet paper in the bath. Brother Ethan, if you go in the bathroom and you sit down over there and there ain't no toilet paper, you don't have to come and tell me. You know what the best thing to do? Just yell out. Find some toilet paper and hang it on the rope. And brother, I promise you this, I've been at this a little bit long now, and it don't bother me if you hang it over that way or under this way. I ain't complaining, long as you do it. But I'll shake my head and look at you like you a calf at a new gate if you come and say, Pastor, there ain't no toilet paper in the bathroom. Okay. I didn't need it. Go get you some wipes out of the nursery. All right. Yes. So, I said all that to say this. It's 2019. Every member's a minister. And now we got to go over a few things. Church calendar. Everybody got a church calendar? If you will help me to understand this. The church calendar is not something that's been yayed and amen set in stone, so it's been written, so shall it be said. It can be changed for the good of the church. But it is a guide to kind of help us out throughout the year. Not only do we give this one out tonight, but every month we try to give them out. Sometimes it's the second of the month, sometimes it's the 28th of the month. I usually try to get around the first of the month. We try to get you a new calendar for that month, just in case something's changed. But I want you to take this and look at it, keep it at home, and put it somewhere that you can use it. And say, for instance, oh, we're having the Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally May 17th, 2019. It would be a good thing, if at all possible, that you not take your youth, our youth, on vacation at that time. Okay, here's another one. November. The 10th. 69th anniversary of the church service. It'd be a good time to be in town at the church 69th anniversary, if at all possible. 69 years. Kind of an important day for Lock Haven. Call it homecoming. But it'd be a good thing, you know, well, Pastor, why are you putting that way out November? I ain't gonna remember it. So you have ample opportunity to reschedule whatever you done scheduled for the 10th of November and be here. December 13th, 15th, candlelight service. Wow. Be a good thing to be in town. Pretty big time around here. We reach out to the community. We do a lot for the community. So the reason we give you this is so you can do a little bit of planning. So you can be around and be a part. Since you are a member, you should be involved in these areas and in other areas. You say, Pastor, my family's funeral come up, and you know, my grandpa, he's gonna die in June, so we ain't gonna be able to be here. Listen, I'm not your school teacher. You can't tell me something crazy. Pastor, you know, my passport's expiring in June, so I need to go on vacation in May. Well, you renew your passport. All that, so it's there to help us, okay? Everybody got one? If not, they're going to be up here. I'm not going to go over every issue of it because it is self-explanatory. There's just some high days of our church that we need everybody around. We need every hand. What's the Navy saying? Every hand on deck? All hand on deck. All hands on deck. So we can go, hoorah, swab the deck together. All right. Now, a few more things. Adult choir, nursery workers, Sunday school teachers, cleaning team, nursery discovery workers, security team, bus people, print shop people, anybody that does any kind of volunteering for here. I've passed out these sheets to you. If you did not get one, it's because you're not in one of those ministries. So it's not that we don't like you, but if you are in one of those ministries, we'll get it to you. Timeliness is very important. Very first thing on the thing. Do y'all know that when the Lord decides to come back, He's going to come back whether you're on time or not? Just how it works. So timeliness is very important. It helps everybody if everybody's on time. Beyond timeliness, not showing up at all, second thing. We covered that pretty good. Nursing workers, not showing up at all. It puts the schedule in a big bind. It really does. There is going to be another nursing worker meeting in February, and we're going to be teaching some pediatric first aid. That's in February. You'll keep your ears posted and you'll get it. Sunday school teachers, please ensure that your class is clean and tidy. Go through it. If you got some materials in there from 2012, it's probably time to throw them things in the recycle dumpster over there, okay? Clean it out. Keep it nice and neat. Teachers, I would encourage you, make a flow chart of what your attendance is right now, and with a reasonable goal for each quarter, begin to pray. Begin to seek out people. You know, you have a visiting kid or visiting lady or visiting couple come. Take a name, take an address, send them a text, an email. Let them know that you were glad that they came to Sunday school. Sunday school was, you know, if they came to Sunday school, that's a pretty good time to keep contact with them. And reach out to them and let them know that you're glad that they came there. And take it serious. It's yours. It belongs to you. You've been entrusted with it. You've been delegated that area of influence, and take care of it and watch over it. And taking attendance is very important in all the classes. That's why we give you the books, nursery workers. Somebody's done stole the attendance chart in the nursery, ladies. So if y'all can return that, we will not file charges. I have no idea who would have took that, but I'm sure it's in the diaper bag somewhere. So if you check your diaper bag and the nursery attendance charts in there, please get it back to them. It's very important that we do that because of false allegations that could be made and then things of that nature. They could say, this person did this and that person wasn't even in the nursery. It helps. It really does. So it's important that we do that. And then it lets us know if, hey, you know, Johnny's been coming for 6 weeks and then now all of a sudden Johnny's missed 4 weeks. Something ain't right. We can check up. We can, you know, it gives us a visual there. Remember this. You, as a member of Lock Haven Baptist Church, you are representing the Lord Jesus Christ and our church during the services. When you're in the choir, ladies, and when you're singing up here, men, and you're on the stage, and you're part of what's going on up here, please, I ask you to dress modestly, wear your skirts or pants, your skirts or your dress down to your knees or longer. Men, Ladies, don't wear any spaghetti things up on your shoulders over there. You know, things of that nature. Men, I would appreciate it if you would try to throw a tie on, but if not, could you at least put a pair of nice pants on and a good collared shirt? It just looks sharp. It just does. I appreciate it if you try that. If you really can't get to the tie thing, I understand a little bit. I really do, because I don't like them myself. I do wear them, though. So this is what I'm talking about up here. Choir, Sunday school teachers, things in that nature, Discovery Club workers. We need to look our best. We need to look professional. Okay? If we're playing softball, wear whatever you want. I mean, as long as you got some clothes on. But remember, up here, you're doing a little bit different. All right? Cleaning team. If you're part of cleaning up, you volunteer to clean different, and you cannot make it, or you swap with somebody, please write their name on the chart. There's charts back there that every month they're up there. Keep it going. If you can't make it, let us know so we can get somebody else in there. That'd be a help. I'm going to let you take those home. There's more of these up here if you need them. I'm not going to go over them and beat them with a dead horse to death, but we are going to finish up with this final thought. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. It's very important. If we want God's blessings upon our church, we need to do everything for the glory of God and wholeheartedly for His glory. I think Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 maybe. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works, that it may glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think somewhere around in there like that, okay? You're not doing this for me. We're doing this for the Lord. I promise you, I don't do what I do for you, although in the way I do, I primarily do it because the Lord loves me a whole lot. But I do know this, if the leadership don't do it, y'all ain't doing nothing. If I don't do something, if I don't put forth that step of good work, you're not going to do it. So if you're over some area, Sunday school teacher, choir, youth choirs, beautiful girlhood, Discovery Club, youth zone, bus work, whatever, if you're over some area, if you're not going to put forth the effort of being found faithful, those underneath you ain't going to do it. They're just simply not. Rises upon leadership. It does. And I have the needers come forward. That's the way I finish up the vision of the church is to have a family join. I have Brother Harry Neely, Sister Myra Neely, and Sister Kimberly Neely, and Isabel's coming with Miss Kimberly. Now, Miss Myra, she is the mother of the group. Brother Harry's the son. Sister Kimberly's the daughter. Their dad and husband passed away. But they're coming, I'm going to try to pronounce this, by statement from Pamarada Road Baptist Church from Powell Valley, California. Must be cowboys out there. They're coming. They spent some time with me. We went through the classes together, looking at the statement of faith, and they feel like this is where the Lord would land them and be a part of our church. And I would like a motion to accept them in our membership. Carl, second, Brother Ethan, all in favor? Any opposed? All right. Praise the Lord. Y'all come by after. Give them right hand of fellowship real quick. And as you give them right hand of fellowship, file right up into the choir loft. All right? Father, we love you. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, we do understand. God, we are a busy, busy, busy people. But your work is important. Help us, Lord, to put effort into doing your work. For we labor together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.